The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, 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 and welcome to episode 144. Sounds like a lot. Of How You At You. It's your girl Shanice from K-Pop Box.
And Shay from the K-Way. And on this podcast, we love hanging out with you guys, talking through the hottest K-news, your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, and everything in between.
Yes, so if you want to join the conversation, make sure you hit us up on socials at How You At You. So sit back, relax, and let's get it started.
Yes, so our very first segment is Hot Topics, aka BBC Shanice, where we give you a rundown of the hottest K-news that's come up over the past week or so. So Shanice, spill the tea.
Shinee's Key and Taemin have released apologies for their remarks about Minho's skin color. This happened in a video that they self-produced on their YouTube, which was titled Shining. Key, Minho, and Taemin can be seen sitting, talking together. Taemin told Minho that when Minho started golfing, he could only see the whites of Minho's eyes and teeth. Key added on asking him why he got so sun-kissed slash tanned, and if Minho ever closed his eyes and mouth at night, he would disappear. Ha 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 ha.
Gasp.
So obviously fans criticized the two for their colorist remarks. The clip was soon edited out of the video. Key, Taemin, and the production team released apologies for their remarks and for including the hurtful clip in the video. Of course, there's a lot of discourse online. There's people that are like, oh, it's not that deep, and da da da. But it's like, if it doesn't affect you, don't worry about it. Just sit this one out. It's like, you don't need to be included in everything. But I also want to say that I think I read Key's apology. I can't remember. I know Taemin's came out at the same time, but I can't remember it. And it did seem like it came from a sincere place. So there's that. And also, I don't know why we shouldn't praise a fish for swimming, but for them to address it, because I feel like SM, especially SM artists, they're very known for just kind of waiting for things to kind of blow over and then just business as usual kind of thing. So a lot of people were happy that it was addressed as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Shay said no comment, but that's that. Moving on to what is YG doing? I don't know. According to Star News, you know how he's talking about Blackpink and what's YG doing and blah, 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 blah. Basically, there's reports going around that G-Dragon has left YG Entertainment and has signed a contract with Warner Music. I don't think anything's been said on YG's side, but it wouldn't surprise me. And this is funny that we were talking about this last week, because now I'm just like, you're two cash cows, which is G-Dragon and potentially members of Blackpink, are going by. So what's happening over there?
Very interesting. I wonder how their stock is doing.
I feel like since, you know, like when there's reports about Lisa not being one that's not re-signing or whatever, stocks have been dropping. Stocks have been dropping.
I don't know. I feel like it's YG, so I feel like they have some huge dramatic trick up their sleeve.
I think you're being very optimistic. I feel like the YG that was before is different. I don't know what, but I don't know what they're doing over there. And when I say different, that could be different, better, different, worse. I just don't know what they're doing. As you said, they may pull out a rabbit out of their magical hat. I don't know, but I don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, okay. So is that. And then, as we know, 50-50, they're still going through their legal battle. But 50-50's fan union, I didn't know that such a thing existed, but there we go. So 50-50's fan union has announced a boycott of all paid products, music, social media accounts and content from Attack Entertainment in protest of their mistreatment of the group. The boycott rules include not purchasing physical or digital albums or singles, general merchandise, tickets, and tickets for paid events. The protest also encompasses refraining from streaming content published by Attack, included but not limited to music and lyric videos. 50-50's fan union is also urging netizens to unfollow all the official social media accounts run by Attack for 50-50. So loads of people saying this is given a Luna 2.0. I think that's the effect that they want. So yeah, I don't know how effective it will be, but we'll see. But yeah, anything you'd like to add, Shay?
No, just a very interesting news segment today.
So that's that. Thanks for listening. and that is Hot Topics, Hot Topics. If there's any stories you want to comment on, or if you want to comment on any stories, make sure you hit us up on socials at HallyuAtYou. Okay, moving on to our next segment called Say What. You send your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, hot tea. You can send that all to howyoutea@gmail.com. That's howyoutea@gmail.com. Or you can submit a form at kpopbox.co.uk/howyouatyou. So Shay, take it away.
Okay, so our very first unpopular opinion for today is, I came across a TikTok of Johnny and Yuta singing, and I must say that SM, I think they were meant to say definitely, because it says defense.
I think I must say in SM's defense. I guess, no? Does that make sense? No. Girl, you need to read these opinions and edit them, chat.
But what about the element of surprise?
Girl, but we get the elements of typos, respectfully.
Of confusion. I'm gonna go with, I must say that SM definitely have the most all-rounders. Like, how are all of the rappers strong enough vocalists to compete with some group's lead vocalists?
Because SM, and we spoke about this last week, up until recently, and again, it's not everyone, it's just a few people. I feel like SM doesn't know what rap is. SM, they just like to sprinkle it in there because they're like, oh, this is for the cool guys. We're trying to be the cool kids. But really and truly, SM are about, no one can come for SM and their vocals. I feel like, maybe not so much now, but as I said, back in the day, especially when it came to like the visual spot or the rapper, whatever, of the group, it's like, they see something within that person, but they may not be 100% there yet in terms of where SM wants them vocally. So they put you in the group as the rapper, as the vocalist, or even in Taemin's defense, like he's a great dancer. He may not be where we want him to be vocally yet, but he will still have time to train, but still highlight his other skill sets. But compared to everyone else, because it's SM standard, not like base standard, which is, do you get what I mean? So that's why I think it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know. As I said last week, I didn't know Chanyeol can sing. I didn't know Kai could sing or whatever the case may be. It's because, of course they can. They're under SM.
It's like a prerequisite. I think I know what videos this person's talking about. I don't know if there's been a new one, but I saw the Yuta one and I was like, okay, it's Yuta. I can understand that. But I was shocked by the Johnny video. I was pleasantly surprised. So,
but was Yuta even a rapper in it? Is that his position?
I don't know what Yuta's,
because I wouldn't, maybe he is, but off the top of my head, Yuta equals rap doesn't make any sense to me. That's never crossed my mind ever with Yuta anyway. Johnny's a rapper in SM's mind, but in my mind he's never been a rapper either. But that, if someone's like, yeah, Johnny raps for NCT, I wouldn't argue with it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, according, I've just Googled it. According to Google, Yuta is a lead dancer, sub vocalist, sub rapper of NCT 127.
Yeah, see,
NCT
and I would put U. that on the bottom. Do you know what I mean? When I think Yuta, rapper is not the first thing that comes to mind. Mm. It's like a little sprinkle. Here's a cherry.
Interesting. Okay, and then on to our next unpopular opinion. This person said, lip syncing during promotions is only okay if some of the stages are live.
Yeah, I feel like, but with this, when I say some of the stages, I'm not mad in the sense of, because I think SM used to do it, I don't know if they still do it, where sometimes like the first few stages, they may not sing live. But I don't know if it's like, I just want you to get the feel of the song. This is what it's meant to sound like, even though it's like the spirit of a cop-out, right? And then after, it's like they sing. Maybe the chorus is lip-synced, but verses and stuff, they usually sing, right? But it's like if your whole, this is not aimed at SM or anyone in particular, but like if your whole stage promotions is just you lip-singing, then what I keep defeats the purpose of you guys being there. Like, okay, yeah, okay, you're dancing. And I'm not disregarding how hard it is to actually sing and dance live. But I think I've said this before. I kind of like when an artist either changes it up a little bit, or if there is a little bit of a mistake, it just makes you human. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think I agree. I can understand why some of the first ones might be lip-synced, especially if there's intense choreo, and because you're setting the tone for like, oh, this is what it's meant to feel like. Mm-hmm. But I think there's that like raw authenticity when it is live, and you can, I'm not saying I want to hear someone panting through the whole performance, but when you like you said, if they change up a note or if they do something a little bit different, because I sometimes think when groups or solo acts even become too reliant on lip syncing, say they win a stage or whatever, or one of those shows, and they then have to do like their whole encore situation, and they can't sing the song.
It's like, baby, first and foremost, I think people forget that these people are meant to be singers first and foremost. Like, everything else is meant to be extra. And that's what the wow factor was. Like, wow, they can do all these things. But really and truly, if you're unable to sing your song, that's a problem. For me, I feel like that's a problem. That's the issue. Hmm. And I'm not saying that, you know, the dance is not great or whatever, but that should be just an added extra bonus. I don't know, like, sing the song.
Yeah. If possible, please sing your songs.
That'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, because I think for SM artists especially, and this might be biased because I think I see more of their clips, everyone is always really pleasantly surprised when they have to do like their little situation after they win an award, and everyone's like really stable, or it sounds exactly the way the song was.
Yeah.
But once again, we're not looking for perfection, but it makes it a bit easier for an audience to connect when it feels raw and real and in the moment. So,
yeah.
And then on to our last unpopular opinion for today. This person said, if a quote-unquote K-pop song tops chart the chart in America, but it's the English version, it doesn't mean America is warming up to K-pop. It's quite the contrary, actually.
I agree. I get it why people get excited when their faves top certain charts, but it's just like, in my mind, I just shrug my so. Like, and as this person said, it doesn't mean, oh my gosh, you know, the world is opening their eyes to K-pop, because they're not. It just, this particular song, for some reason, just hit different in a sense of, I can't explain why, well, we can explain why Psy Gangnam Style, for example, was, because visually it was very troll-like, and during that era, during that time, people were just intrigued. It wasn't like, it didn't necessarily kick down the, it helped, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to negate what that did for the K-pop space in terms of internationally, of course, like, it made it made noise, it opened the doors, opened the eyes to other people to see what is K-pop, like, what's this guy doing, like, whatever. But it didn't make any grand moves. And it's the same with, like, groups that came after, like, your Big Bangs or your, or even when Wonder Girls were trying to thing, or 21. And I feel like you can even say the same with BTS. I feel like that's why there's, you have those certain fans, and I put air quotes because some of them, like, can you really call them fans of BTS or whatever, but they put this emphasis, like, BTS are not K-pop, they're just BTS, right? And it's like, I get where they come from sometimes, because it's like, some people are just drawn to BTS, not necessarily because they think, I don't know where I'm going with this. My brain just turned off, like, shut up. Hopefully what I said made sense, but my brain literally just short circuit just a minute ago and just like, okay, that's enough talking. Shay, if I remember what I was going to say, I'll jump in, but.
Okay. No, I think I was following what you were saying. I agree with what this person is saying. I don't think there's anything wrong with an English version of a song,
mm-hmm.
but I also don't like this concept where we don't just see it with K-pop. Many West artists from other countries that are trying to break into the Western space. I understand perhaps for the sake of global and international success or introducing new fans into X, Y, and Z space, but I don't get this obsession with, like, I need to make it in America, I need to please the American audience sort of thing.
I feel like that's just a thing. I don't, everywhere, like, if you make it in America, you can make it anywhere. It's that old kind of cliche of things. It's like, America is where all your dreams come true kind of vibe. Like, not even just within K-pop, just anywhere. Like, you know, if I'm in an American film and it's really well, then... Because,
mm-hmm.
like, America is, like, the scene as this, like, strong economic power kind of thing. So it's like, well, if I can make it there, I can make it anywhere. I think that's where it comes from.
I think in terms of success and expansion and reaching more people, I think that's completely fine. But my issue is when you're almost seeking acceptance or validation, like, oh, if it's okay in this space, then it's cool, or then it's okay. Because I also have heard the thing sometimes, I don't know if it's the same sort of train of thought that you were on, but where some quote-unquote fans are like, oh, like, no, BTS is, like, really big in America, obviously, and in the West. They're not, like, they don't need to be in this K-pop bubble anymore, which makes it seem like there's something wrong.
Yeah, it's, like, kind of diminishing what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I get what you mean. Yeah, because there are... I don't get that either, because that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, interesting. But obviously, over the years, we have seen this pattern where in order for X group or X artist to really blow up, we're predominantly stating America, because I think that's even where, like, Korea and the entertainment industry puts a lot of its efforts into promoting in America and sort of having that American debut and breakthrough. But I don't know. I feel like if your artistry represents, like, your culture, your story, your heritage, it's not saying that that is less impactful if you choose to do that in English. But I feel like if you have to strip that layer of yourself to be accepted in the space, is it worth it? I don't know. Hot take.
Because I even as well, like, if you even flip it, for example, you have, I don't know if they do it so much now, but, you know, like, maybe a couple of years ago, you would have certain groups. Like, the first group that comes to mind is, like, Little Mix, right?
Mm-hmm.
They did their debut song, Wings, in... Did I do it in Korean and Japanese? Or they just did it in Korean? I can't remember. But that doesn't mean, oh my gosh, they're trying to take over the K-pop space. Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And as you said, there's, like, this... And again, it's not, like, a K-pop thing. I think it's just a world thing where... I don't know if, like, America's done it to themselves, but they put themselves on this pedestal and everyone's like, yeah, this makes sense. Because, like, there's not the same vim, for example, if there's, like, this random singer from the small town in England, and for whatever reason they're really popular in Germany. Like, no one puts, even though that's an amazing achievement, no one puts, let's call her Sarah, no one puts Sarah on this pedestal, like, because she's big in Germany. Like, just no one talks about it.
It's definitely like an interesting thing, and once again, like, what we're discussing doesn't just apply to K-pop. I see very similar trends even with Afrobeats artists, that their sound significantly change as they try to cater to more of a American audience or be more accepted.
Sorry.
Well, I don't actually listen to Burna. I don't listen to very many artists anymore. I don't even know how I'm talking about this. But based on the
thing is, I agree, because like, and don't, I'm not coming for, like, Burna Boy, don't come for me. Like, don't come for me. Because I do like his music. But you can tell in a sense of, like, and again, it's fine to experiment with different sounds or whatever. But there's times where it's like, okay, can you still categorize this as Afrobeats? Because what is Afro about? The only thing Afro about is the fact that you are African. But everything else is giving, you know, R&B, pop, hip-hop, fusion. Like, it's not Afrobeats anymore. That kind of key element has kind of disappeared, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, still, like, holding on to the... Yes, is it sometimes wishful thinking? Yes, the music industry is a business. Entertainment's a business. It's very much so what the people want. But I feel like, I don't know, like, with great... what is it? Like, with great power comes great responsibility.
Come on, like, Spider-Man.
Introducing a new audience to a genre of music or your people or your culture, I feel like you have the responsibility of staying as true to the source and your initial core as you can, because I don't know. And it's something we also see in K-pop, and I've noticed with some Afrobeats artists as well, but like just random Western collabs where it's like, I'm just going to chuck X, Y, and Z, like Western artists on a song, because they will make it popular. They have an audience. So I don't know. Some of these things rub me the wrong way a little bit.
Yeah, I get what you mean. But I feel like that's just us, because I feel like we're kind of like artsy, creative people. Stay true to the art, right? And there's other people, and as talented and as amazing that they are, and they are artists as well, they just view it as a business, right? And they're like, this makes sense with numbers. They don't really, and okay, it might be harsh to say they don't really care about the integrity of it, but like, some people just don't. Like, some people, I'm here to get a bag. I'm here to see, I'm here for, like, maybe not for a long time, or maybe they didn't realize that they didn't know they were going to be here in terms of the business as long as they are. And they're like, you know what, it's working, so I'm not going to complain about it. There's some people that just, they don't care, if that makes sense. So it's kind of like, okay, let's put Miley Cyrus on a reggae song, even though this makes no sense. Like, do you know what I mean? Actually, that might slap. But you know what I mean? But I'm just saying random things. Like, just let's put Taylor Swift on a hip-hop beat. Like, do you know what I mean? Again, that might slap too. But do you know what I mean? But things that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And I think, like you rightfully said, sometimes we, I don't know, overestimate people's intentions, because at the end of the day, this is their job.
Like, exactly. Some people just clock in, clock out.
Like, I don't know, hot take, but say a company like McDonald's, it's not healthy for you, it's not good for you, but they're a company, so if they need to make a new burger that has more calories or more things in it because it will sell and there's potentially a desire for it, they're probably going to do it because it will sell. So,
yeah. Because it's like, for example, there are certain people, like, within, you know, the retail space that take that very seriously. Like, they really care about the visual merchandise, and they really care about, to like the nth degree, like customer service and stuff like that, and giving people an experience. Whereas there's other people, it's just like, child, I'm just here to clock in and clock out. Doesn't mean I'm not going to do a good job. Like, I still could be employee of the month. Like, Shanice's customer service is amazing, and, you know, she upholds the standards of the store. But at the end of the day, I don't care about the artistry about that. And it can be the same thing with certain people with the arts in terms of music and stuff, but because we don't come from that space, and you know, I feel like being an artist, especially like if you're a singer or whatever, or an actor or whatever, part of your job is to kind of sell that you care, right? Mm. Whether you do or not, like, we don't know these people, we don't know how much they care about it. So then you have like this fake, not fake, but you have like this persona or expectation of the certain person because, you know, they speak about certain things a certain way. Again, you can relate it back to the whole retail analogy. If I'm trying to sell you this cream, like, oh my gosh, this cream is amazing, does it mean I actually care about it? Yeah. I'm just doing my job.
So it's interesting and it's layered, but if any of you guys want to input as well, we'd love to hear your thoughts. But those are all of our unpopular opinions for today. If you want to submit any of your unpopular opinions, questions, dilemmas, or stories, you can submit those anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/halyu@you, or you can send them to us via email, which is halyut@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. So now, as we come towards the end of the episode, it's now time for On the Radar, which me and Shanice will let you know if there's anything on our radar, anything that we're listening to, watching, or anything that we want to put you guys onto. So Shanice, what's on your radar?
On my radar, why is it Rize? Is that how you say the name? Rize? Riz?
Yeah.
Rize? Ritz? Ritz crackers? I don't know. Rize? Riz? Rize? I really want to say Riz because of the Z, but I think it is Rize, right? Yeah. Them just watching everyone's TikToks and commenting. Scary. And then...
They destroyed the simulation. Okay.
It's like, Ariana, what are you doing here? But of course they're there. And also, I don't know if it was this week or last week. It's like one of those forums, yeah, where they're like, they'll ask questions or ask people's opinions and stuff. And it was like, oh, don't you think the same group, like Rize, did they debut too old or whatever? I'm like, they're 22. Like, I don't, what are you talking about? This shouldn't even be a discussion. I think they debuted at the perfect age. Like, they're all old enough where, okay, I don't know how long they train for, so that's a different question. But if we just take that out of it, right? They've all debuted at the point where they're adults and they can do the job properly. And they have their own thoughts and they know how they feel. They kind of know what they're signing, I guess. Still young, but, you know, they're not stupid.
See, this is where, and once again, not to overgeneralize, and this isn't everyone, but this is where K-pop fans scare me. Because if you think that, like, a 22-year-old or a 20-year-old or even someone that's, like, 25 or older is too old to be debuting...
Mm.
And you're more comfortable watching minors dance and sing to you. I'm sure everyone can gather where I'm going with this. Get help, please. Because I don't know, like, imagine just being in the world and saying, ah, I would prefer if children danced in front of me.
I feel very uncomfortable. Yeah, because I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense at all. And then it's like, then you... As you said, then you think and you kind of deep, you're like, but who is saying this? Yes, there's going to be like the odd child saying it, which makes sense because you're like, you want to see your peers do well, yeah, or you want to envision yourself in that space, which I get. But then it's not usually them that's making all this noise. It's usually someone that's like way older than 22, right? And they have like whole... breakdowns and video essays and paragraphs, and it's like, I don't understand where you're coming from. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's funny enough that you brought that up. Mm. There was like a whole discussion going on a while back. What was it? Where I don't know the context, and this might be wrong in relation to what we were initially discussing, but there was a situation where people, I think it's was off the back of this clip, and it seemed like New Jeans were having some sort of fan meet, and there were a lot of like mature looking men there. Mm. So one, the whole thing around should these men be allowed to interact with these girls, some of which who are minors, And in some of the videos, you could tell they were maybe a bit uncomfortable or whatnot. But then another side of the discussion was, is it wrong for people over a certain age to indulge in like fan culture and events and different things?
I feel like it's a tricky one because, again, I think we kind of mentioned this. I don't know if it was like last week or the week before. Someone says something along these lines where it's kind of like, because of what the idols are kind of paid to do, that sounds really weird, but like kind of paid to do there to create this kind of illusion, like, you know, you're my friend and, you know, fan calls and social media, like there's this like thin line between them and us kind of thing, where it's like, oh, there's an illusion where I'm kind of your girlfriend, but I'm kind of not, but I'm going to flirt with you, but I'm not flirting. So it's kind of like, it's not kind of cut and dry in the sense of this person is a fan because of just their music or whatever the case is. I don't know if I'm making sense. My brain is doing wonders today. But hopefully that made sense what I'm saying. But then at the same time, it's kind of like, and I don't like sticking up for men, shout, but you can't just assume that every guy that's there is sexualizing them. But I, on the other hand, I could kind of see, oh, this kind of seems weird. But then it's like, what? So because you're over a certain age and you're a guy, you can't like, you're only meant to like certain things, or you can't like certain things. So it's a sticky one.
Yeah, I agree. I think cases where things are distasteful or inappropriate, that's never going to be okay, no matter the person. Obviously, there is this sort of perception that, oh, men over a certain way and are into some interesting stuff, or especially in relation to minors. So some people would just rather those interactions not happen. But on the flip side, some of these men may just be fans, and if they're conducting themselves appropriately, or perhaps they have a daughter or a niece who's a fan and they're going on their behalf, I think they have every right to be there. But no one, especially these artists, some of which are minors, should be made to feel uncomfortable or like have anything untoward or inappropriate happen to them, because that isn't what they come to work for. So I don't know. It's a bit difficult. You can't just give one rule that will apply to all, because some could abuse certain liberties, others, I don't know. That was all your radaring?
Yeah, that turned into something else, child.
On my radar, what's on my radar? I started and finished a new drama. It's called A Time Called You. It really hurt my head. To anyone else that's watched it, I don't know, maybe it's just the way I watched it. I chose to watch it, like, I don't know, like, 2-3 a.m. whilst
I knew you were going to say that, like, you always time. Watch these things at stupid times.
Like, let me purposely make this more difficult to comprehend. It was interesting. If you're perhaps someone that likes a little bit of mystery, intrigue, cliffhanger sort of thing, I think you'd enjoy it. It was a bit hard to follow at times. Once again, it could just be because the way the conditions in which I chose to watch this drama, but there's time travel technically involved, but what? It's not, but it is.
Oh, child, this is too much already.
Yeah, like, it was, I really feel like I need to rewatch it, but I will not. I want to like say on it. I'm so sorry. I will not put myself through that again. Not to spoil it for anyone, but one of the themes is that there's this girl, and if she listens to this cassette tape, she can go back to this year that basically her doppelganger existed in. Right. And I don't know how that works or why that works. It was interesting. It was good.
Okay.
I don't know. My brain still hurts. That's my radar. Thank you.
Okay. Merry Christmas. I love that for you. Thank you. So our brains are not working today. I don't know if any of this episode made sense. I think it does make sense. Well, Shay makes sense for most of it. I don't know about me, though. But thank you for suffering for the song. What were we doing? We're ending it. Thanks for listening to How You At You.
And remember that you can send any of your unpopular opinions, dilemmas, requests, or stories to halut@gmail.com, or you can submit them anonymously at kpopbox.co.uk/halut@you.
Yes. I've been Shanice from Kpop Box. You can follow me at kpopbox_.
And I've been Shay from The K-Way. You can follow me at The K-Way on most platforms.
Yes. And until next time, we will
holla at you.
Bye. Bye. Ciao.